The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put his hand in the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Hear these words. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied their exultation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Great will be his authority, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with the justice and with righteousness, from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of God. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had given birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Avon calling, yep, right. I'd like to tell you a little story. We're going to get into our Wayback Machine and go a little ways back to the 1920s. And there was a well-known surgeon named Evan O'Neill Kane. He was so famous he even had a hospital named after him in Pittsburgh called Kane Hospital. So in New York City, where he was practicing at the time, he had come up with many revolutionary surgical techniques, and they were making him more and more famous. And after performing about 4,000 appendectomies with general anesthesia, he had an idea. Remember, this is 1920. He believed that instead of using general anesthesia for all surgeries, and at that time, it carried a significant risk, especially for children, he could use local anesthesia, which was developed to be very powerful, which beginning that at that time, for some of the surgical procedures. And many in the medical community agreed with Dr. Kane in theory, but no hospital would allow him to perform a major surgical procedure just using local anesthesia. But in 1920, he received permission to perform an appendectomy with local anesthetic if he could find a patient who was willing to undergo the procedure. Now, Dr. Cain searched for 6 months, but he could find no one who was willing to do that. You know, remember, we now know how powerful local anesthetics can be. You give a spinal block and you're not feeling anything below your waist. But back then, the thought of having someone cut into you with a local anesthetic was sort of like bungee jumping. Go ahead and jump. Don't worry about it. Jump head first. The bungee cord will save you. Don't worry about it. Who wants to go first? Well, not many. None, in fact. So on February 15th, 1921, Dr. Cain finally found a patient willing to give it a try. The patient was wheeled in. Dr. Cain administered the local anesthetic, made the incision, removed the appendix. Then he asked if one of the doctors observing would close the incision. 2 days later, the patient was discharged from the hospital feeling great and in perfect health. And it was the first time local anesthetic was used for surgery, and it revolutionized the practice of medicine. Do you know who the first patient was to undergo an operation with only a local anesthetic? It was Dr. Evan O'Neill Cain himself. Dr. Cain gave himself a local anesthetic and removed his own appendix while astonished doctors looked on. And he asked another doctor to close the incision, but that was all. The doctor became the patient so that patients might trust the doctor. It sounds like a far-fetched story, but it's true. But you know, that is not even close to the truth of the greatness of the story of God, who took everything that could fit into a human life and body so that God could come to us in human form so that human beings might trust God. This is exactly what our scripture this morning is telling us, that God's strategy for a broken and rebellious world is incarnation. That means God becoming flesh and blood right in front of us. And it is the staggering claim of Christmas that the all-powerful God who created the cosmos became one of us. Imagine that everything of God that could fit into a human body and life, that God who created the universe and was so large our human minds cannot even comprehend it, comes to us as one of us with a face and eyes we can see. To get the merest glimpse of what I'm talking about, consider this. Astronomers tell us that there are probably as many Earth-sized planets in the universe as there are grains of sand on a beach. Maybe on all the beaches of the world. And our sun is big, but there are other suns that are just as big or bigger, 50 times bigger, 100 times bigger, 1,000 times bigger. And the more research that is done by physicists such as the late Stephen Hawking and others, the more they are led to believe that the universe has such order and balance that there must be some intelligence and benevolence behind it. We, as Christians, believe the Creator became flesh and became one of us in a stable, not surrounded by palaces and princes, but by shepherds and animals, surrounded not by the odor of perfume and antiseptic, but of cattle and hay. The God of the universe made an appearance not at Saks Fifth Avenue, but in a manger, which is literally a feeding trough for cattle. And God came for us. It's a staggering claim. When I was in Rome, I heard that one of the most popular popes in history was Pope John the 23rd. Few popes were more respected and loved than Pope John the 23rd. And I heard a story about one Christmas day when he went to visit the prisons of Rome. As he walked on, the prisoners were so astonished to meet the Pope in person and shake his hand, they could barely contain themselves. Many people live in Rome their whole lives, and they never get to meet the Pope. One prisoner got up the courage to ask, "Father, why have you come to us in this terrible place on Christmas Day?" The Pope's reply was, "Because you could not come to me, so I came to you." You and I cannot scale the ladder of the heavens and to God who created the universe. So God comes to us. That's what incarnation means. God with us in person. God with us as one of us, so that we can come to know and trust God. Now, once you make that connection, it changes the way you live your life. You realize that you are to incarnate God's love to others, just like we did with the gift cards. In other words, you are to make the concept of God's love come to life and let it live through you and around you. The secret, though, is to not keep the secret, to tell people why you're doing it. That's evangelism enough. They'll figure out the rest. You are to make God's love flesh. So where this week or this month may God want you to incarnate God's love? Now, I lived in Florida for a long time, and despite the fact that Steelers are always our team, you know, once a Steeler fan, always a Steeler fan, you know. So you Ravens and Washington people, give me some slack here. But we did live in Sarasota for a long time, so our local team became the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And they had an amazing running back there. You might remember him. His name was Warwick Dunn. He was highly talented, highly paid. He was the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year in 1997, incredible running back. He played for 12 seasons and went to the Pro Bowl 3 different times. But that's not what interests me about Warwick Dunn. Did you know that he was raised by a single mother after his father abandoned his wife and children? Warwick Dunn's mother worked in law enforcement and raised her kids on a single salary. Just as Warwick was entering college, his mother lost her life in the line of duty. So Warwick Dunn went to college without a father or a mother, but he excelled so much in college that he was signed to a large multi-million dollar contract to play professional football with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, you may not know that Warwick Dunn, like former coach Tony Dungy, and the marvelous Mason Rudolph, the red zone reindeer that led the Steelers, thankfully last night, to victory, they are all professing and practicing Christians, and so are many pro athletes. You know, we hear so much about the few pro athletes that are drug users or in trouble with the law. It's nice to know about those who become millionaires suddenly and decide to do something for others, and Warwick Dunn is one of those. At Christmas time, Dunn finds a single mother trying to make it on a meager income, and he literally buys a house for her and her kids. He has done this for dozens of women. He said, "I remember how my mom dreamed of owning a home, and we could never afford it. Now he helps some single mothers have something that he never had. He gives them a home of their own, and these families are so thrilled they just can't believe it. And he does it in the name of Jesus Christ, whom he believes in." When Warwick Dunn does this, the Word becomes flesh. And every time we do something gracious in the name of Jesus Christ, the love of God becomes real in the world through us. God has empowered all those who walk in the way of Jesus Christ to do incredible things, sometimes in ordinary ways, sometimes in extraordinary ways. God asks us to go in love and in person, just the same way God came to us. And further, God asks us to reach out to people and bring them into the community of faith, not to increase numbers or help our finances, but that we can work with them to spread God's love throughout a hurting world. Amen.